Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another very special episode of You're Welcome. Today's show is, of course, brought to you by the good folks over at BetDSI.com. Guys, if there's any major world or sporting event that you want action on, do it at BetDSI.com. These guys have been around for over 20 years. They score an A-plus on sports review sites. They have a mobile app. You can go to the website. They have 24/7, 365 customer service, and they've made a reputation on making getting your money, getting paid, fast and easy. Right now, go to BetDSI.com, set up an account, use the promo code CHAEL25, and they are going to give you $25 for free just for signing up. No strings attached. You never make a payment. You never get out a credit card. You know I want to do that to you. Free means free. BetDSI.com, promo code CHAEL25. Go have a little bit of fun. Now, let's get into this. So many things go on over the weekend. I mean, Bellator's got a show in Italy. It's completely sold out, 12,000 people, MMA on top of kickboxing. What I thought was compelling about that, and I was into it, but there wasn't a huge name fight that I could tell you. You know, they love Sakhar over there. He fought a guy who's the Bellator champion, Cavallo. I don't know what the guy's name is. The guy actually called me out one time. I had no problem with doing the fight, but it's like, hey, they could just put anybody in there. I wouldn't know the difference. I wouldn't have any. They could put a brick in the ring. I wouldn't know if that was Cavallo or not. I'd have no idea. You could set a brick at his mother's kitchen table and she'd feed it. She'd think it was her son. He called me out. I accept the call out. No hesitation there. But I don't have the foggiest idea what he looks like. So whoever Cavallo is, I accept your invitation and congrats on your win. Beating Sakhar is not an easy thing to do. But my point is, they didn't have this big mega fight and they sold out. They sold out 12,000 seats and they did a double show. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I've got to see it live. The ring is set up, the cage. And so here, let's rewind. The boxing ring is set up. So they'll do a Bellator kickboxing. Then they'll make this big presentation. It's like the Undertaker's walking out. I mean, there's music and there's lights and there's this whole pomp and circumstance. And they lower the cage that's suspended in the ceiling above the arena. They lower it. It lowers right in and all of a sudden they go right into MMA, or they can do it vice versa. Start with the MMA and then raise the cage. You get the point, but it's really cool how they do it. So it's back to back. No downtime for the fans. They just lower it and they raise it, and it's awesome. And one of the main reasons I watched wasn't even the MMA or to can insult that brick known as Cavallo. It's Joe Schilling. I want to see Joe Schilling's kickbox. So at any rate, they do 12,000 seats live. I'll be very curious when the ratings come out. But if you can do 12,000 seats in advance, they were sold out 3 days before the doors opened. Pretty good sign that you've got something cool there. You swing into the UFC, look at what Cub Swanson out there just battling. Ortega's walking through it all. And Ortega reminds me of a Diaz fighter. The Diaz fighters get hit a lot. They just don't mind. They just push through, and all of a sudden you keep punching them, and all of a sudden those punches are getting lighter and lighter because you're expending all your energy. Pretty soon they get their paws on you, drag you somewhere they want to be, and look for a submission. And Ortega's very impressive like that. No way around it. I thought Cub was impressive too, even a defeat. I thought Cub was winning the fight. He was winning the fight. Finding his range, hitting his target. The target just wasn't going down. Ortega came through him. And all of a sudden, that division just gets really interesting. I don't know what in the hell you do there. I want to see Edgar in there. We were promised that fight. We were looking forward to that fight. I'm talking about with Holloway. But it's a good problem to have when all of a sudden a new guy, in this case Ortega, emerges. All of a sudden he comes out of nowhere. And you're speaking about these divisions and what you're going to do. Another headline came out. Manny Pacquiao said that he wants the Conor McGregor fight and that he is even in talks with McGregor. Dana came out and real quickly said, if that is true, I will sue him. Now, to elaborate on what Dana was talking about, you are not legally allowed to interfere with a contractual agreement. Most of you just learned that right now when I said it. And if most of you did this, you go, okay, wait a second. Don't sue me. I didn't know that was the order. I'm not allowed to call a guy. I had no idea. Okay, fine. And you didn't. Pacquiao's a little bit different. Well, he's a lot different. He comes from the boxing world. In the boxing world, that's the way it is. If you want to do you want to fight a guy that's not under contract with your promoter, then you do a co-promote. They got to work out all the deals, and that's the way it is. And you don't call a guy directly. Your management would contact his management. Your team would contact his team. You bring the promoters in, you sit down at the table, and you try to build a fight. He knows that. He's also a lawmaker. Don't forget, Manny Pacquiao is a congressman. So to act as though we should look the other way on Dana's right. He should sue him. And I'm not sure Pacquiao got his thoughts together when he made that statement either. If we were to take him at face value, he said he contacted Conor. I assume what he means is my side has contacted Conor's side. They're in talks. It's not what he said. So for the point of this explanation, I'm going to take him at his word that he contacted Conor. Well, right there, I'm out. You two guys can't be talking. One fighter can't call another fighter and go, hey, I think this is a really big fight. What do you think? Should we do it? Okay, let's do it. Now let's start the press tour and act like we hate each other when really we're just business partners trying to make some money. Even though that is what this is, it is professional fighting, you can't do it. There has to be an arm's reach between the two participants. They can't just get on a phone with one another, decide this is what we want to do and this is how we're going to do it, and let's go to the table and try to get it done, and then ask the fans to come in and buy it. It just can't work that way. It loses the allure. It takes away from it. It's very tough to imagine a lot of fun with Pacquiao and Conor. And if you think you're going to duplicate Conor and Mayweather, you're wrong. Remember the press tour? Remember the world tour where they started in L.A. and went off to Canada? And Jacob, where'd all they go? They were in London. Was it New York? Is that the four stops that they made?
I think
Remember how hot that
LA,
was?
L.A., Toronto, New York, and London.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. But remember how hot that was? Those were sold out. Those were the middle of the day. People were scalping tickets. ESPN was covering this thing start to finish. Showtime was covering this thing start to finish. You and I were up here covering this. I mean, it was awesome. Now imagine Manny Pacquiao sitting up there. What in the hell is Conor going to do with that guy? Pacquiao's just going to sit there and grin the whole time and hope people like him? I mean, it's not the same thing. We had two heels going at it. You were seeing who could out-heel the other one. It's a rare thing. But there's nothing. You want to know what's money is a cool heel. The bad guy's never cool. The good guy's always cool. Well, when the bad guy's cool, that equals cash. And you had two of them. And it was a rare thing. Now, Pacquiao and McGregor, that works. That works all day long. I'm pumped for that. I'll watch it all day long. We'll cover it. No problem. But to act as though that's the monumental world tour blockbuster that they're going to even touch Floyd and Conor, man, it doesn't work that way. And what in the hell is Pacquiao doing? He's coming after a guy who's 0-1. It was bad enough when he was 0-0 going into the sport. Now you tell me that he's never won. In fact, he's got a negative, and Pacquiao, one of the greats of all time, is now calling him out? It's a little bit weird. I mean, it's just a tough sell right out of the gate because I have to know why you're fighting. To get enveloped in this, for ESPN to tell storylines, and you're counting on ESPN, you bet your ass, you're putting on a sporting event, you are counting on the worldwide leader coming to the table. And they will, but they need a storyline. And I know what they're going to say. I know exactly what Glenn's going to say. Why are you guys fighting? Be his first question. And the only answer is because we think we can make money. That's a problem. No, I need more than that. I got to have more than that. Floyd, you had all sorts of stories. Going for number 50. That was a storyline. I mean, people talked about it left, right, and center. Stephen A. Smith was all bent about it because he said, well, it shouldn't count. You know, he's not even taking on a journeyman here. He's taking on an amateur here. It shouldn't count. There should be an asterisk. Everybody else has come back and pushed back. Go, well, that guy's never done it before, but he's got two gold belts, says he's the best in the world. Mixed martial arts, we want to see this fight. Then he came out and proved that he was a worthy opponent. But the point is, there was a storyline. Then you got Conor. You know, people always think Conor's selling trash talk. He's not selling trash talk. Conor McGregor sells confidence. He will walk in there with anybody in any style, at any weight, at any time. That's what he's selling. You have a storyline. And then those two just built on it from there. I mean, those two just went nuts. Again, come back to the world tour. But take out Floyd, put in Manny. Do you got a big fight? Yeah, you do. You got a big fight. Do you have one of the biggest fights in history? No. Not even close. Not even close, but you have something special. And to think that somebody's going to come in and cut Dana out of that, that's not right. Dana wouldn't do that. He just did this. I mean, he's promoted one boxing fight. So he's got a 100% record. Okay, whether it's a limited one or not, he's batting 100%. He did everything right. He followed the rules of boxing. All the way to giving Showtime control. When that's what Dana does, you guys got him under contract. You guys get control. Brought his guy to the table, worked out the contracts, made a couple of bucks for himself, but left it on the table for the athletes. I mean, he did everything right. Now you're saying somebody else wants to come in and do it wrong? You know, Bob Arum comes out, calls Dana a piece of crap. Okay, Bob, I'm all ears. What is it that he did? Why is he a piece of crap? But there's no answer. He didn't do anything. Bob's just sweating bullets because Dana said, I'm going to get into boxing. And what Bob knows is the boxing model is filthy and dirty and corrupt and has been forever. And Dana's contracts that he uses for MMA that he's likely to bring over to boxing are clean and straight and above board. And it's going to disrupt the model. Bob's always been the smartest guy in the room. He surrounds himself with boxers, right? And then you got Bob Arum, who's a lawyer, pretty smart guy. Pretty easy to keep your thumb on top of everybody. Well, now all of a sudden, you're not the smartest guy in boxing if Dana jumps in and he says he's going to. So how do you handle that? Apparently, you call him a piece of crap. Instead of going, hey, you know what, Dana? Maybe we better open our arms up here. What do you think about a little makeup session? So, I mean, it just got a little bit weird for me. I like the fight. But if they are, if Manny, as he said, contacted Conor directly, man, that's pro wrestling right there. The athletes don't talk. You keep the principles apart. You don't bring them together and start discussing stuff. Anything. Even your hype. No. The fight's going to be straight. Absolutely straight. I'm going to try to beat you. You try to beat me. But, you know, let's build it up like this. No. That's pro wrestling. We don't do that. We just don't do that. And there's a room and a place for it, but it's not in professional prize fighting. And if Pacquiao did that, and he could do it undercover, and guys have before, Muhammad Ali had done that before. It was a different world. Cell phones and social media, things were different, but he had done that where he'd go talk to a guy and say, hey, I'm going to do this, and why don't you do that, and it'll be good. Guys do that, but they don't get caught. Manny Pacquiao's going to do it, then he's going to go to the media. God, he's such a dum-dum. He's then going to go to the media and say, I just did this? I mean, these guys that will turn the gun on their own damn business, you know, that would reveal the secrets of an industry. That's a dirty, rotten guy. Magicians did that. Did you ever catch those shows? Remember those shows were coming out? They're a few years old now, but where a masked magician was coming out.
Masked magician, yep.
Yeah, am I saying it wrong?
No, that's right.
Oh, yeah, a masked magician. Yeah, oh, that's what it was called. Yeah, that was the name of the show. Yep. A masked magician. But he would come out and he was giving the secrets away to magic. And I watched it and I was fascinated. And it was all so simple. You know, once you know how to do it, it's very simple. I mean, from disappearing acts to sawing somebody in half to the most amazing trick of the eye illusions. But once you see how they did it, you go, oh, that was it. There was just a mirror over here, or there's a trap door over there. You know, it was so simple. And, I mean, they made a motorhome disappear one time right in stage in front, and they showed you how they did. Oh, they set up a couple of years.
Yep, I remember those. Guy walking away.
Yeah. No, it was really great, but the guy literally had to come under a mask because he'd be abolished from the industry. You don't reveal the secrets. You don't give away your own industry.
That was a cardinal sin, yeah.
That's right. And so Manny Pacquiao is even a step dumber than this, in that he doesn't even know he's giving away the secrets of his industry. He doesn't even know anything above, you know, put some gloves on and go punch a guy and throw up a smile every now and then. It's like, no, man, you're talking to Conor, but then you're going to come tell us all you're talking to Conor? What was the point of talking to Conor? What was the point of that other than going, hey, I've got an idea here. I'm going to hand it over to Bob. You know, let Dana know or however you want, whatever it was. That would be the point. Hey, oh, and by the way, Connor, this goes without saying. This call never happened. Click. Okay, Manny, click. That's how that goes. Manny's dumbass comes out and tells the whole world he's doing it. Now he's about to find himself in a lawsuit. And the other side of it is, I could just be falling for the trap. He perhaps never contacted Connor. He wanted a headline. He got a headline. He made it up. He knew that this was taboo. He knew that it was illegal, which is why he did not do it. But it would be a grabbing headline to test the waters and see if there's something here. So he threw it out there. In that regard, smart. But I can't give him that credit. I have to just take him at his word. I have to take him at his word for the integrity of this segment. So, I mean, those are my thoughts. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. I'm okay with the fight. And then here's another level of that, too. Because it's all speculation with Connor. However, he has held up two divisions. And they stripped him of 45, so I guess his hands are clean on that one. He held that up for a little bit, but he moved weight classes. But he has held up 155 pounds. I give him a pass. He had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. All sides won. UFC came in with an interim championship, which is an extremely fun contest between Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson. I think everybody won. In the interim. Well, the interim is now the reality, and he still doesn't have a date. Tony is undergoing surgery, but if it was Tony versus Connor, I would expect to hear something, at least in the media, that, hey, when Tony gets better, or we have a prognosis that Tony is out for 8 months, so in August of next year is what we're targeting, but we'll see what happens. I would expect some kind of a statement to kick the can down the road and let people know that he is, in fact, returning to mixed martial arts. I don't know that he is, and the most I'm hearing is that now he could have another big boxing fight. Cool. But what do you do with the UFC title? I'm just saying, you know, I feel like in a normal circumstance, historically, with athletes in this situation, we at least get a little bit of information. Hey, look, we don't know what's going on with Connor, okay? He does want to come back, and we've got a couple fights left on his contract. We're looking at something now. We were looking at Tony, but Tony's going under surgery, and we've got some moving parts here. So we don't get any resolution to our question answered, but we still got some dialogue going. We still got a real broad stroke idea. There's nothing out there. Anything you're hearing on Connor, you know, he's at a fashion show where he's taking pictures with some, you know, some gal. It's going out on social media. I'm just not hearing anything about fighting. The first thing I hear about fighting is coming from Manny Pacquiao, you know, at the same time that the UFC is saying they want to get into boxing. And I don't know that I'm leaning towards either one, that he's going towards MMA or he's going to box, and then retirement's in there too, right? You got a third of each. I don't know that I'm leaning towards any of them, but it does surprise me that we're not getting guided in some fashion with some kind of a press release or a statement, or his coach speaks or he speaks or Dana speaks or whoever it may be. And you know, possibly they just get a pass. Maybe they go, look, not only is our champion on ice, but our intern champion is on ice. The rest of you can't complain. We've given two belts out now. And the hell else do you want us to do? We're just going to have to sit here and wait. Maybe that's why the media is letting them slide on this. But it has been a little bit peculiar that there's just nothing out there.
I would say Kevin Lee and Connor in the meantime, mostly just to keep warm. At this point, because yes, they are on ice. I had a feeling that Pacquiao would come out eventually.
No, wait.
And say,
tell me what you mean in the meantime. What's in the
well?
If you're putting Connor in there,
the Tony and Connor fight is the belt fight. That's
right?
The fight.
But Connor has a belt. Connor's a sitting champion.
True.
So if he fights Kevin Lee, it's for the championship.
And then you have a rematch of Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson, though.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm going. It is a mess, but yeah, in the meantime, I'm okay with whatever Connor does. I had a feeling Pacquiao would eventually come out and say, hey, I want to box him, but my pullback was I needed to see Connor initiate first. I wanted to see Connor do his whole thing where he's like, okay, I'm going to be at the top of boxing, which maybe he's, which you're actually making me think now, maybe he is. Maybe he is, considering that the UFC wants to get into boxing now and Dana wants to get into boxing. Maybe Connor has this thing going where he's like, I want to be on top of both. That sounds very outlandish, but it sounds pretty cool if he can do it. And Pacquiao might be a good place to start.
I suppose. I mean, don't forget, he's 0-1. If he wins the fight, now he's 1-1. I mean, how, you know, to get to the top of boxing, Pacquiao's got no championship. He's coming off a loss to Horn, a fight that I didn't even know was happening until the weigh-ins were concluded. It happened in Australia. I guess it did okay business in Australia. The ratings over here were abysmal. And not because people didn't want to see the fight. I'm going to assume I wanted to see it. I would have watched it. I didn't know it was happening. I still to this day don't know what network carried it. I don't know if that was pay-per-view, Showtime, HBO. I don't know. It wasn't on ESPN. I don't know. I don't know who covered it. Point is this. Would we want to see that fight? Yeah, sure.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, is it a little weird?
We'd all watch it.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's not the business of those two. Why somebody would call Connor out in boxing after he lost, yeah, it's just a little bit weird. You know, De La Hoya came out and said how Connor had absolutely no business in there, no right to be in there, and blah, blah, blah. And then what's De La Hoya do? He sees him lose and says, well, I'm going to come out and fight him. It's like, well, you're going to come out and fight him because you saw something and you think you can beat him? I mean, the mask is off now. The balls and the bravery and the courage go to Floyd. Floyd didn't know what he was getting into, for sure. And Floyd stepped in and did it. Now you guys have 30 minutes of tape on him, and now you're starting to come out. So you lose the courage battle. You guys lose the courage right off the gate. And now you're calling a guy who's never won. He's now 0-1. That's not great. That's not courageous. And it just turns into a big cash grab. That's okay sometimes. I'm not against that. I will throw my money for every time I go to a movie. Yes, it's about making money in exchange for my entertainment. It's okay. But in the world of sport and building storylines and having something with validity, it can't just be a big star is going to the ring. It just can't. Otherwise, Brad Pitt would be boxing next month, right? Otherwise, Will Smith would be in there. Otherwise, Angelina Jolie would take on Jennifer Aniston. Okay, it's you can't just be a star and then go into the sport of boxing. And you know, and you always see this too. Every actor wants to be an athlete, and every athlete wants to be an actor. And you just get this weird back and forth. Go, guys, what are we doing here? And secondly, why are we doing it? And if you can just answer those questions, right, the who, what, when, why, and where, you can just answer those basic questions, you can have something. I can't think of very many situations where you can't answer who, what, when, why, and where. Manny Pacquiao versus Conor McGregor? You're going to struggle with those basics. Who, what, when, why, and where? Those five questions, all of a sudden you're stuck in the mud.
That's why it has to be from Connor's side, because he's like, if he comes out and says about Pacquiao or De La Hoya or even the guy he beat up in the gym training, Paulie, even if he said that, there's a story there. It's not a huge number fight, but at least it's like, yeah, Connor's trying to get into boxing. And then we have a story.
Yeah. And there are guys. I mean, there would be, you would see the reason. Let's say Dana was going to jump into boxing and he wants to bring Connor in. It would make sense that he did bring in an Oscar or a Manny. Now, I don't know that that's the way he wants to go, but I'm just saying, you know, boxing numbers, very hard to meet a boxing fan. Very hard to meet a guy that's ever boxed.
Because we don't know them.
Yeah, but goddamn, they do solid numbers. There is something about that word boxing in a big fight. People come out. I mean, whether it's the stars or the average Joe, or, and then don't forget, ethnicities get very loyal to their guy. You know, particularly with Mexico, or in Manny's case, you know, with Filipino, they get very loyal to their guy. The Germans, they get very loyal to their guy. The Russians, the Cubans, maybe Cubans a little less. The British, though, is another fine example, get very loyal to their guy. So all of a sudden, maybe the numbers do make more sense. And if you are looking to come out, of course you'd like to come out with a splash. You know, what is Dana's plan? He hasn't told us yet. Does he want to go out and sign Joshua? And does he want to go out and sign some of these guys and just do straight boxing? Or does he want to blend them? Is he willing to throw a Nate Diaz in there? Who's seeking his license, possibly has even been granted it. Is he looking to throw a Connor in there? Is he looking to throw, you know, what he did, Jimmy Manawa, who's raised his hand, Stipe, who says Aldo. Is he looking to do that? I don't know. I don't love that idea in the long term. I like the idea of keeping them separate. You know, and one of the first MMA promoters to also do striking, now it's kickboxing, but it is Scott Coker. And Scott Coker as the leader of the charge of doing both and even doing them both in the same night. You know, I was telling you, this Bellator card over the weekend, 12,000 seats live. Haven't seen the ratings yet, but I trust they're very good. But they are separate contracts. He's got Bellator MMA. He's got Bellator kickboxing. He does not blend the two. It's not to say that somebody couldn't come in and do it, but you are going to cannibalize one of your own interests to support the other. That's where the problem comes in. That's where it can be more helpful. But again, a splash to a new company, it matters, particularly when you're out seeking television sponsors. It matters. So Dana might do that.
Couldn't this just be like that step backward to take two steps forward sort of thing, where it's like, yeah, we're in this weird hybrid mix thing going on. It's like we're not. Yeah, Dana's gonna come into if he does, he comes into boxing, cleans it. If boxing just took a cleanup, even that would make boxing that much better. But then they actually start to build a promo. Like, okay, now we know who some fighters are. Now we start to see separate boxing events. I mean, you can have similar sports exist side by side.
Sure.
That's happened for ages and ages.
Yep.
You have long distance running, you have sprinting, and they both have their fan bases, and it's, even though they're doing the same things, essentially. But it's going to be weird for a little while, for maybe a few 5 years, maybe even 10 years, while they figure out, okay, what exactly are each of these sports doing? But then it's like, oh, now boxing's back. UFC never actually went away. It just kind of did this, whoa, some fighters can leave now. We can maybe take some boxers in if they wanted to come into UFC or anything like that, instead of like almost taking down the patriarchy of boxing, if you will.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to disrupt the model.
Yeah, because for some reason, boxing, and I understand why, thinks that's on top. But at the meantime, it's like, okay, let's actually just, it's a sport. It's two different fighting sports that don't actually sit on top of each other. You don't hear runners saying, oh, sprinting's the peak. That sounds ridiculous.
Right.
Because it is. They're completely different.
Yeah. Oh, and to your point there, he would come in and make a big splash and get a lot of fighters right away just when they saw his contracts. The boxing model is really very similar. Where you go with Don King, you go with Oscar, you go with Aram, you're signing essentially the same deal. The MMA contracts are completely different, and guys are going to take a couple of looks at that and go, wait a minute, what? You're going to give me these rights, and you're going to give me this ability, and you're going to give me this freedom, and I'm only locked in for this amount of time. And they're going to be intrigued by it. It is different. It is a much cleaner, much more above board. You know, boxing does the minimum that it has to. It got hit with that Ali Act. So it just meets the mandate and goes on. MMA has no guidelines. And it's already much cleaner without having to be, without having any federal law whatsoever. MMA does things right. You don't have guys pissed and in fights and going to court over contracts. I mean, I could count that on just a couple of fingers. I mean, BJ Penn had something that did go to court. Rampage had something, but even Rampage didn't want to fight about that. He's like, well, who am I with here? Am I with you or am I with you? He didn't really know, so they kind of had a judge sit down and figure, where else do I go? Who else went to court? I think Randy had some kind of a threat or something going on, but I don't think it ever got there. Yeah, it's just a different deal. It's a different world, and it is a lot cleaner. And I'll tell you one really cool thing, and Oscar De La Hoya gets the credit for this, but it was right after Chavez Jr. lost to Canelo. That night, right there, they raise Canelo's hand, they read the judges' scorecards, they make the announcement right then, they dim the lights in the arena, boom, the screens go up with a B-roll, and Triple G walks out. And I have never seen that in boxing. I believe it was the first time. Right there on the spot with your audience, with your marketable audience, with your crowd, with your paying customer watching, you inform them who the next fight will be. It was a treat to get to see it. It was fun, almost like an encore. We got to see a ring walk, and we got to see Triple G and Canelo face-to-face, and they told us the date they would be fighting. It's one of the reasons that fight was such a large success. People do like boxing if they know why and they know when. That's it. I argue that from wrestling. I know people don't love amateur wrestling. However, audiences would double in your local colleges, where they're going to be small, but they'll double. Literally double. That's 100% increase if people just knew a match was going on. But wrestling has no money, so they have no ability to go to the radio or go to TV. They don't have the foresight to do any of those things, to just let people know there's a match and here's when it is. And people will come. So this is what they had done so well. The reason I make that point to you, Jacob, if there's anything we know about Dana White, he will use a show as a springboarding commercial for the next show.
Happens right? All the time. The next fighter walks out into the cage. Then they have a mini face-off.
Listen to me. It's common sense. Yeah. But boxing has that sense. They just don't have the – they're just so disorganized because, you know, a few fighters over here and a few fighters are with this guy and you haven't got everything worked out yet, and they all got to sit down and talk, and then we, the fans, miss out. And if we miss out, then they miss out because the fans are ultimately the boss. The boss is whoever's controlling the money. Fans are the ones controlling the money. So it's a miss. So I'm just saying Dana could come in just with the recipe that he has right now, have better contracts where guys are going to be coming over, be able to promote them, tell their stories. But also, just in this one simple example, this is simple. This isn't life change, right? I'm not inventing the new iPhone for you here. But very simply, use it as a springboard and let us know right there who is he fighting next. Dana does that at post-fight press conferences all the time. And it is a little tough. I'm burying boxing on that regard, but it is a little tough. You'll even see Dana, who's got all the strings, all the everything, all the contracts, and he'll say, I don't know. We got to sit down. I don't know. So it's not totally simple, but when De La Hoya did pull it off, and he had Canelo and he had Triple G walk out, it was an awesome moment in boxing, and it parlayed into the success of that night. That was a huge, huge success for Oscar, that fight.
And that's all they need to do.
That's all they need to do.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Promote. Yeah. Just say who.
Tell the story. Who, what, when, why, and where. But don't be Manny Pacquiao and tell me that you're setting this up behind the scenes and you'll get to us when it's done. No, Manny. We're the boss. We're the ones that are paying the money. We will decide who you're going to fight, when you're going to fight him, and how we want this done. Don't let us in on the gag. We don't want to see how the sausage is made. We just don't. You let down the fourth wall. You told us that you talked to Connor. Bad move. Rookie mistake. Manny's not a smart guy. He can be elected to all the offices. He's not a smart guy. And he didn't really have a chance to be. He ran away from home as a little boy, and he got into boxing. I mean, he's just not a smart guy. And a lot of times when a guy has a huge level of financial success, he will equate that himself to, I must be a smart guy. Well, no, sometimes you just made a lot of money. And you'll see that particularly in sports, right? Mayweather's a dumb to one of the highest levels. But he was really good at something, and he was able to monetize it as well. So it's not a full insult. It's kind of a little backhanded insult here, but I think you get my point. All right, hey, Jacob, let me stand down for 1 second because I want to tell everybody. I can get the audience something for free. That's ZipRecruiter. Guys, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So you will receive the best possible matches. That is what makes ZipRecruiter different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidate finding you. It's going to go and find them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and it does not matter the size of your company, from big to small. If you need somebody, go to ZipRecruiter.com, and right now you can do it for free. That's right, for my listeners only, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. Try it for free right now, ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right. I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man, Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday.
Aaron.
Yes.
This is the official podcast of the Los Angeles Lakers.
We are, and as the analytics expert on this podcast, I want to actually give you some props, Jay, because you were interrupting me at 42% of all sentences, and you're down to 34. What would you attribute this reduction
to? I'm down to what now?
34%.
I interrupted you again. There's the gold standard and the purple and gold standard.
America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcast1.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jael Sonnen.
So let me ask you something. I was watching Ariel Helwani's show, and Eddie Alvarez was on it. The big question is, you know, what's next, Eddie? Errol has to ask that question. I'm in the same spot. I can't have a guy on my show, no matter how redundant that damn question gets. I can't have him on and not ask him what's next, just in case he knows. I got to be the one to break it, right? It's like one opportunity you have. So Errol asks him that, and Eddie didn't really know. And I don't know that it's Eddie's job to know, but I also don't know if Eddie's in a position right now to have that burden put on him to call somebody out. I feel, and this is in my gut as a fan, and I think I have the same feeling that other people do, whoever in the hell Eddie Alvarez fights next, I'm in. At 100%, can't happen soon enough. Plus, if you just look at the order of that division, who's where and the rankings, any which way you want to do it, I'm in. I think that the Poirier fight is one that Eddie's not looking at. I think he's like, well, we've already done that. Let's move on. I think Eddie could be missing.
Poor Poirier.
Yeah, like, no, wait a second, Eddie. There is unfinished business there. There's an incredible storyline there. There's a talkative, boisterous opponent in Dustin Poirier who's never been pissed off in his whole career, but he's pissed off, and it happens to be at you. I don't want him to overlook that one. And I know he's going to, wait a second, I want to move on to the title, or give me Khabib, or, you know, how about Tony? What's going on with Conor over here? If Conor's out, let's do Tony. I get all of those things. I understand it all. But what I would encourage Eddie to know is, hey, man, your next fight is going to be a big fight. You're the guy right now. And it comes and goes. And usually when it comes for guys, once it goes, it never comes back. With Eddie Alvarez, it's back. He was the guy. He is one half of the biggest gate in mixed martial arts history, $17.1 million. He was one half of that. He lost the fight, so he went down. Ooh, he's back. He's back. He is the UFC's most violent man, one of the fights of the year, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you just go through the list. So I don't know that he needs to call somebody out or try to strategize, which is always a smart thing to do for a big fight. It's like, Eddie, for right now, and these things, these rules change all the time, but for right now, you're the guy. And no one's going to be calling Eddie out. Calling Eddie Alvarez out, I mean, come on. Why don't you just go throw yourself off a bridge, right? Well, Poirier doesn't see it that way. I know Eddie Alvarez. I've followed his career from day one. I've never heard him get called out. Ever.
Really?
I've never heard him get called out. I've never seen anybody challenge him. Conor didn't even challenge him. And when they said, hey, Conor, you're going up and you're fighting, yeah, okay, fine. But he didn't say, hey, I want Alvarez. No, I've never seen it happen. I think that Chandler, back in the day when they got in their little sequel there, Chandler may be the one guy that did, but I'm not positive of that. Now, all of a sudden, you got Dustin Poirier saying, hey, I've seen it all, and I'm not even saying you're bad or I can whip you. I'm just saying I want to fight you. Compelling storyline for me. But if you're not going to do Khabib, and if you're telling me that Tony and Conor are out for a while indefinitely, pretty hard to bring Kevin Lee right in because he lost. Because he lost to Ferg, pretty hard, not impossible. You could throw Kevin Lee in, and you bet your ass people, that'd be a great fight. I just don't know if Kevin's going to be one of the likely suspects right now. So what do you do with him? And then what in the hell do you do with Khabib? Can you count on Khabib? Will Khabib show up if he signs a contract? If he shows up, is he going to make weight? One of the two of those is probably going to be no. He's either going to pull out of the fight, or he's not going to be on weight. One of the two of those is very likely to happen. So it's a tough spot. What do? Well, you go fight him anyway. Well, but that's not the deal, right? Guys always do it, but that's not the deal. Hey, we've agreed to this, and now you're doing that. So I wouldn't blame somebody. But what do you do with Khabib? Khabib has been a number one contender. He's 23-0. He's absolutely amazing. But he's inactive. So is that a guy you want to go after where you don't even know what's going to happen? Yeah, it's just a weird match. It's a weird spot that Eddie's in, and I'm not sure that Poirier isn't, if you want a storyline, which you have to have for a big fight, Eddie deserves a big fight. Absolutely he does. I'm not sure there's a way to trump that. We've got the footage, we've got the video, and you got a pissed off, first time in his life, Dustin Poirier, nicest guy in sports, right? You got a pissed off Dustin Poirier. Right. I mean, you know, calling out Eddie Alvarez?
Which no one does.
Go play in traffic before you call out Eddie Alvarez. You just don't call the guy. Right. So there's something there. For me, there's something there.
I would actually say Eddie, because he is so stable right now, because no one wants to fight him, I would say he can do whatever he wants. I would say do something as crazy as call out Connor. Maybe get something stirring. It probably wouldn't happen. I don't see it happening. If it does, awesome. I'd love a rematch of that fight.
I would love it, too. I would love it, too. Calling out Connor, though, has become old hat. Everybody's doing it. Now, nobody calls out Eddie because he's going to whip your ass. And you might beat him. There's guys that could beat it. I'm not sitting here saying Eddie is. And I've seen Eddie lose, but you're going to get your ass whipped. For sure. You're going to the hospital.
It's going to be the worst win you've had ever.
That's right. You're going to get your ass whipped. But I guess here's what I'm saying. When you start calling out Connor, and we're even seeing it now, right? What's his name? De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, who we talked about. Floyd will be coming. I guarantee you, Floyd will be coming out of the woodwork a lot sooner than you think, looking for part two on that. When you start doing that, you start to just blend in the crowd. You just do. And it becomes very obvious. Now, everyone's scared of Connor, too. Connor's going to whip your ass, too. But they know there's this huge payday waiting at the end of it. So I guess here from a psychological standpoint, here's the problem. Eddie is in a driver's seat in a major position right now, in a major way. And that doesn't last very long, but he is in it. And I want him to enjoy it. I think he deserves it. I think you agree with me. I think the fans agree with me. If he were to make the wrong move, though, okay, when you're in the driver's seat and you call somebody out and you don't get that fight,
you're out.
You're not in the driver's seat anymore, right? You see the problem. So when you're in this power position, right? Yeah. Now you're sitting in the trunk. Exactly. When you're in this power position, when you are the man and you are in demand and you're coming off fight of the year and you're the most violent man in the UFC, first ever crap, right? And you know what I think about it. I think it's a real title. And the viewers, by the way, in social media have agreed with me. It's a real title. If he calls out Connor and doesn't get it, and he's probably not likely to get it. He's just probably not. You know, you got Ferguson sitting there. If you got an interim champion, another champion, you got to put them together. Is Connor even coming back? See what I'm saying? I don't want him to waste his bullet. He's got one bullet in this gun. He's got to fire it in the right direction. And that's just the spot he's in. So that's why I say not Connor. I am with you. I would love to see that fight. I enjoyed it the first time. It surprised me. I thought it was a deer in the headlights, Eddie. I thought it was a relaxed Connor. I give credit to Connor. Not any part of that is to take away from Connor. He's got ice running through his veins. He's a calm athlete. Eddie generally is too, and he wasn't that night. I love it. I'm in. I just don't know that if he would get it. If he got one bullet, it's got to hit the target. I don't know if I know what the answer is. Every now and then, Jacob, I'll make this final point too. Every now and then, you pull your oars out of the water. Because it changes so fast. Who in the hell is Brian Ortega? Well, now I know who he is. Right. Yeah. Now I happen to know who he was before, but who in the hell is Brian Ortega? Well, now we've got the answer to that. Let a couple weeks go by. Just let a couple weeks go by. There's a guy getting ready to fight Cormier. Do you know his name?
Off the top of my head, no. I just saw a headline, though.
Okay. I would recognize his name. It's actually a really hard one to pronounce, so I get a little bit of slack here. On his last name, we don't know who he was. He's about to fight for a world championship, and he could win it. He could win it if he connects on Daniel, and Daniel gets connected on a lot. He could win it. What I'm trying to make the point of, and not to be condescending to the new number one contender that's going to fight Cormier, what I'm trying to make the point of is let a couple of weeks go by. New things happen, and I don't know that Eddie has to have the right answer today because Eddie's in the seat. Eddie's in the seat, man. Eddie's in pole position. Eddie's sought after guy. That's my thought. But I do think if you want storyline, and he can't do Ferg and he can't do Connor because they're both on ice and probably facing each other. I don't know that Kevin Lee, I'll drink to that anytime you want to do it. I just don't know that that's the direction he's going to go. Getting there with Khabib, a guy that doesn't get in there very much and doesn't make, you know, I don't know. And it's a very dangerous guy. I mean, he's not a guy that you just want to jump at. It does bring me back to Poirier, a pissed off Dustin Poirier who he did get screwed that night. Absolutely, he did. And it was a great fight. It was a great contest. And we've got footage of it, and we've got a story we can tell. If you want a big fight, that might be the one.
But does Eddie want it? That's, yeah, that's my only thing. Question.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you can't say Eddie's scared. Hell, he already did it.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, Dustin won't fight, or Eddie won't fight Dustin. Well, he won't fight. He did fight him.
Yeah.
So, and, yeah, no, that is hard. It's hard to get a guy to do it again.
One, quote unquote. So wasn't he's it, not scared.
Wasn't it called a no contest? I was trying to think of that earlier, too.
I think it was officially called no contest.
Right. So. Yeah.
Something along the lines of
it was a no contest, but Eddie should have been DQ'd.
Yes.
To our understanding of the rules. But even Eddie was cool about it. Remember when he watched the screen afterwards and he's like, oh, yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, those are illegal.
I got away with one.
Yeah, no, he was a great sport about it. But, you know, doesn't mean Poirier doesn't want it back. I get it.
I'm more on this for Poirier's side. I kind of, at this point, because everyone else is just in limbo, he almost needs some upstart to go take him besides Poirier. Just someone that says, hey, yeah, I don't know, some Brian Ortega guy comes up and goes, hey, I can take on Eddie.
Sure.
Just that one random dude, and then you fight.
I hear you. Those guys are a weight class apart, and I know you know that, but...
But someone, do you know
Before our listeners come and bury you on that.
No,
right.
No, I get
your point.
Someone like that, which then ties into your thought, let a week or two go by and then we'll see who wants to play who.
The landscape changes so fast. You know, you can just chill out for a little bit and just see what happens.
Though at the moment, I am most on board for Kevin Lee. I don't know if that makes sense exactly. It doesn't feel, it feels like a flat fight as opposed to like going down or moving up, which isn't as exciting. I just want to see those two guys fight.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I'm most on board for that one.
Oh, that'd be an incredible fight. That could definitely happen. Chiesa was mentioned, too. Michael Chiesa has been a little bit quiet lately, but he was mentioned against Eddie at one point a while ago. I don't know why that didn't get off the starting blocks or what happened there, but he could. You could run Gaethje back in there with him. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do, but that comes to my very first point that I made to you. Eddie's next fight's a big fight. I just threw five different names at you. I didn't have you go, I didn't see you – weigh on any of them. It's like, yeah, but that's the point. Hey, Eddie, you could chill out a little bit here, man. You're Eddie Alvarez. You could chill out a little bit. You're in a really fun spot. At any rate, let me switch gears on you. One final thing I want to talk to you about. I might be breaking this for you. Do you know about Brocky versus Rocky? You have any idea what that even means?
Off the top of my head a little bit. What's going on?
Well, so they're looking into another Rocky.
Sounds like Brock Lesnar versus...
Rocky Balboa.
What?
Yes. And so I don't have enough news on this, and it's starting to come out. I think that I could go and find... In fact, we record this, and the audience isn't going to hear this for about 5 hours. We may be able to put these pieces together in the next 5 hours, but apparently, based on a synopsis that I received from Joseph... who read this somewhere else. So, all right, we trickle down. And now I'm repeating it to you. You know how well that works.
It's now fourth-hand news now.
Okay. It's now fourth-hand news. You know how this game of telephone works. However, apparently there's another Rocky in the works, and Rocky's opponent will be Brock Lesnar.
Hmm.
Yeah, Rocky versus Brocky. And some video emerged.
So Stallone will come back.
Yes. And some picture emerged of those two doing a scene, but I think it was photoshopped because they weren't in a ring, they were in a cage. So I think they took one of Brock's fights and, you know, the kids on the internet with the Photoshop, but I fell for it. It made me look. So at any rate, but that's a little bit of a played out story. However, you really can't make enough Rockies for me. I mean, they were fun. I kind of grew up on them. I want to throw Brock in there. There's something to see.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's all I can say. I'm not calling it a blockbuster hit must see, but there's something to see. I'm in.
I'm looking at them right now. It says teased.
Okay.
It's teased.
What's your site? You on TMZ?
MMA Mania.
Oh, well, Mania. There you go.
Yeah.
I only go to two sites, Mania and Elbow. And but it wasn't on there when I looked, so okay, so that's broke. I got to disclose that in case this comes out in the next couple of hours and the fans are wondering why we're behind. We're not live. We're just close to live. We're as close to live as we could get. All right, you got anything else?
It's broken while we're here, so it's breaking for us.
All right.
There we go.
Anything from you?
I tried that quarter thing with the Russians.
And how many did you get?
12.
No problem.
Yeah. I think it was just they tried it on little kids.
That's yeah, my theory.
Like 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. That's probably where the tricky part comes in.
They went largely after 8-year-olds.
8-year-olds? Okay.
In the article. But you did, no problem.
No problem. I was like,
you can go higher.
I was I was like, I'm a shooting guy.
Did you keep going? Yeah, you might be. Did you keep going? Did you like try to get to 20?
I got a few higher, but I was like, I'm starting to run out of quarters because okay. I don't actually have many quarters at my house.
But it wasn't hard for you at all?
No.
Yeah, I've never tried it.
You should see how high you can go, though.
You want to know one that I did try? This is a dumb. This wasn't sports related, but have you ever heard that you can't eat 5 saltine crackers at one time? You have to put them all in your mouth at once.
I haven't heard that, but now I want to try it.
Try it. That one you won't be able to do. Won't be able to do it.
Did you ever try that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got 4.
No. You can get all 5 in your mouth. The trick on it is they suck up all the saliva in your mouth. You can't swallow. That's the trick. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, no, I could do 5. Nah, I thought the same thing. No, 5's actually, you cannot do 5. I'm challenging you. How would I know if you can do it or not? I'm challenging you. I don't think you can do it.
I accept.
I've never seen anybody do it. Try, but it's got to be at one, not 5, not one, and then another one, and then no. 5 go in your mouth. Yes.
At the same time. I accept.
And you got to swallow.
I accept.
And you'll let me know?
Yeah.
All right, you let me know.
I'll do it in the studio here, too.
Yeah, let's do that. You bring it down here. We'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
That'll be another stupid segment, but we love to do those. It's better than us talking about LeVar Ball.
Wasn't it LiAngelo?
Who knows, man? Who knows? That's the thing. We got no facts down here. We just start talking. We got to learn how to edit these things. All right, everybody, here's what you do. If you're looking for a car, it doesn't matter if it's new or it's just new to you, go to True Car. If you're at a desktop, www.truecar.com or download the mobile app. Doesn't matter what kind of smartphone you're on, go in your search engine, type in True Car, download the app. When you're ready to buy, new or used, type in the year, the make, the model, the color. Type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. That becomes your price. Most people are saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. You will be connected with a True Car certified dealer virtually. You will work out your price, your terms, everything. And when you get to the car lot, your car is guaranteed to be there. You're going to save time. True Car. For Jacob, I'm Chael Sonnen, and until next time, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wisman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong.
What do you say? I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace. That's and then right. Watch them fall from grace.
Who doesn't
like
that?
They inevitably do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime. It's the comedy. It's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.